to the English class I took. So I told you I was a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
We had to do 5 papers. Our final paper counted for 50% of our grade. So I made 3 A's and 2 B's on these 5, and I really disputed one of the B's. One of them, I just was kind of lackluster. And so but I didn't say anything. More A's than B's. I'm cool. So it was American literature. The final paper, she wrote the topic, The Prejudices of William Faulkner. Well, now you've read Faulkner.
Mm-hmm.
So I raised my hand. I said, are you talking literary prejudices, style prejudices, you know? I went through 3 or 4 different. No, any prejudice you want to write on. Well, you know, if you're black, you're going to write on the prejudice you know the most about, right? So I wrote, racial prejudice is evidenced in the writings of William Faulkner,
mm-hmm.
and wrote a damn good paper. Turned it in. Went to look at my final grade. I had a bus ticket to go home that afternoon. I had a C in the class. So how do you make 3 A's, 2 B's?
And with a C.
And you get a C. If you, the only way to do that is to have flunked
mm-hmm.
the final paper. So I go to her office, and she was a professor, but she wasn't tenured. And I ask to see my final paper. And she slung across the desk. And all it had on it was F. No other marks. I said, let's start with grammar. You know, we're going to work mm-hmm. this up the ladder here. Let's style, content, syntax. Just went through the whole. Oh, no. Everything's. You're an excellent writer. I'm like, bitch, I know this.
It's okay.
Anyway, so I said, then what is, why do I have it? She said, your attitude toward this paper was too militant.
Yeah.
And I said, excuse me, you just have a militant attitude. I said, thank you very much. May I have my paper? I said, yes. I went. I called my parents. I said, I can't come home till tomorrow. I have something to do. I went. I dug out my other papers. I took that and I went to Dean Silver's office. And I told him I needed to see him. And he said, have you talked to the head of the English department? I said, no, because I don't think that would do any good. I said, he is a graduate of Ole Miss.
Hmm.
So
yeah.
I ain't really trusting that. And Dean Silver, I told him what the deal was. He took my papers and he said, young lady, we'll look at these and review them. You go on home and you'll hear from us in 2 weeks. They reviewed them. They changed one of the B's to an A, and they gave me an A on my final paper. I made an A in the class. But you shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
You shouldn't have to, you know, and if I had been anyone else, well, some other people, I wouldn't even said anything. Because, you know, who goes and challenges, you know, your professor? But these are the things, when I say earlier, that there were things that I learned that have stood me in good stead for the rest of my life. Never take no for an answer. Never let a defeat knock you down. Never let somebody's ignorance, you know, I've always said, if you are prejudiced against me because of who I look like, that is not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's your problem. You are missing out on knowing a wonderful person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just kind of, you have that self-talk. And so when we all came together in Almetris, these are the things we said to each other. You know, hey, you're really great. You know, plus, like, I wasn't that great a math student. But you saw the movie Hidden Figures?
Mm-hmm.
We had a big sister named Gloria Grant, who was a hidden figure at NASA.
Wow.
She and Joyce Massengill, two of our big sisters, were. They graduated before Gigi was there when I was there. Gigi graduated in 66. Joyce Massengill, I think she graduated in 63. But the two of them were recruited by IBM. They were math majors. When I tell you, these women off the chain brilliant.
Yeah.
But we could go to them, and they come to me for help with a paper. So we kind of bolstered each other. My
mm-hmm.
roommate was an art major, and I used to laugh because she could sit up for 3 days painting or doing some project. We took biology together, and she'd be asleep in class in 5 minutes because it just, our brain didn't operate like that. So, you know, so that's, we bolstered each other. So, and a lot of these folks are still friends to this day. And it's amazing the accomplishments. Arlene Lawson, who lives here in Houston, retired from ExxonMobil. She was the executive director of the ExxonMobil Foundation.
No.
Not bad for a little black girl who graduated
mm-hmm.
from UT with a degree in English. Yeah. Let's see. Orville Harris was president and CEO of Arco Petroleum. Edwin Dorn, who you all may know or may have heard of, he was the first executive director of the LBJ School. Edwin went to, and he's still on faculty at UT. Edwin went into the military. He was in ROTC, went into the military as an officer, came out, worked at the Pentagon, and Jimmy Carter appointed him deputy director of the Pentagon. So, I mean, we have some folks that have done some high end. A woman who was just in this last group named a distinguished alum, Anitha Mitchell, Dr. Anitha Mitchell, graduated from Texas in 64 and I went on to the University of Texas in Galveston Medical School. She was at Cedars-Sinai, chief medical officer. So she was just named a distinguished alum last year at
mm-hmm.
UT Homecoming. So, you know, I mean, we have for so few people, a lot of really distinguished people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm just really just proud to have been walking amongst them.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about, you had mentioned you were on the campaign for
Wilhelmina Delco.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? What did you learn from that experience doing that? Because
probably the most fundamental rule in politics is all politics is local,
mm-hmm.
and you have to take your message directly to the people. So we knocked on doors, we carried our message, and that's the easiest way to learn some self-confidence when folks slam the door in your face, you know, and move on to the next house. But I guess the life lesson is never let someone else define you.
Mm-hmm.
In politics, if you don't define yourself and what you stand for, your opponent will do that, and they will not define you in a good manner. So always define yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just persistence. She won her first time out. She went on to become a member of the Texas legislature, and she was the first African American to be named President pro tem of the Texas Senate. So, she has had and still is having a distinguished, a life worthy of emulation, I would
mm-hmm.
say. Wilhelmina Delco is one of my absolute heroes. I tell people all the time, I'll fight you if you say anything bad about Wilhelmina Delco. Anyway, but yeah, she's great, and we learned a lot.
Tell us about the protests, about the activism you took part in.
Well, besides protesting, we had a microaggression protest in the student union, because they used to have these Friday night dances, and they would never play any Temptations or Four Tops or any of that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
at that time, everything was on records, 45s, 33 and a third RPMs. So we would go. And a lot of times when we would come, if enough of us showed up, and enough would be 10 or more, a lot of the white students would leave.
Yeah.
So there was a little singing group of guys who were in Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. And they were very good. It was a very good group. So they just started doing a cappella stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of white students would listen, and whenever they would sing on Friday nights, the place was jam-packed. So, I mean, I don't think we interacted or talked to each other, but at least we were all in the same room together, and nobody was calling anybody the N-word, so, that's a small win. But, other protests, that was about it. We did Wall, a big one. We filed a lawsuit against the city of Austin because we couldn't, if you were black, you couldn't rent an apartment or a house on the university side of I-35. If we were to rent an apartment, we had to go across interregional to East Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So we did file a lawsuit against the city of Austin, and we won that lawsuit.
That's awesome.
Because, think about it. The thing then, everybody's got a car now.
Mm-hmm.
We have cars. Our parents were doing good to pay that $137 tuition.
Yeah.
So we walked everywhere we went. I remember. And let me say this. I had a middle class life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was a middle class life until I got to school. But I had a car in high school. They didn't want me to take it to Austin with me. But I had a car in high school, so I was used to driving places. The end of the first week in Austin, my legs were so sore. I called my mother. I said, I think I have polio. It's not only do I have to walk everywhere. Also, isn't smooth. The campus is hilly. Well, I didn't have them out here.
Yeah.
Flat as a board. I think I have pulled. Anyway, but it, so the significance of the lawsuit about housing was that saved us from having to rent in East Austin and then find a way to get to school either on the city bus or walk, you know. So anyway, so that was, I think that was the most impactful thing that we did. And I mean, it didn't involve a physical protest, it involved filing a lawsuit, but we, the things we had to do for that, we had to gather the evidence, we had to go apply, get told no. And mind you, this is before where you could just turn on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you had to take, there had to be two people go, you know, and take notes so we could be witnesses and, you know, have a photocopy of our application. And so it took a lot of gathering of information. So, you know, that was probably the most impactful thing we did.
Yeah. So regarding just, you know, being in class and stuff like that, we've talked a lot about in our class just the negative experiences that students, like you were saying with your paper. Did you have any really positive experiences in the classroom? Like any professors that you looked up to at the time?
Yeah, actually, there, I told you I wasn't that great a math student.
Yeah.
Okay. My freshman year, I had a trigonometry, I had to take trigonometry, and took it from a TA. He was not a professor, he was a TA. And I think he was overcome with white guilt or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was the only black student in the class. And I struggled, you know, I didn't struggle that much, but I struggled.
Yeah.
So I would go, because my parents also told me to go ask for help, you know. So I went, and this guy was so nice, and he, well, let me help you, and let me show you this, and da-da-da. And I mean, as nice as he was, it made up for some of the others who were just, could give a shit, or you raise your hand, and they'd ignore, your hand would be the only one raised. And it's like, I don't see you.
Yeah.
You were invisible. So, but yeah, that, I had that guy, and Dean Silver, John Silver. I can't say enough good things about what an exemplar that he was. The man fueled a brilliant mind with compassion. He came to one or two of our protests.
Yeah.
You know, and he was the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. I mean, this was a big damn deal. So, I think when he left and went to Boston University, it was a loss for the University of Texas.
Yeah.
But he was just outstanding. So,
yeah. We had also talked, and I just keep referring to class because we did so many things. It was really interesting. In the video we watched about the protests on the drag with the movie theaters, there was a lot of white people in the video that they interviewed that had been there. So did you make any friends, you know, while you were there that were white that you felt like you didn't?
Well, that's not true. That's not true. One of the girls who pledged with us is white.
Really?
Mary Louise Poston. She was a hippie.
Yeah.
And I do have a picture. I'm going to try to find it. But, and everybody. everybody says when they see this picture. Is that a white girl? Yes. She pledged Alpha Kappa Alpha? Yes. Because we didn't discriminate.
Yeah.
But she also had a 4.0 GPA.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and there were so few of us. I tell you what, funny thing. The Panhellenic Council used to have, they used to give an award every year for the fraternity and sorority with the highest GPA. Well, we would win.
Yeah.
Now, the Dean of Women, and I don't know what her first name was, but her last name was Dean. She was Dean. She was the Dean of Panhellenic. She refused to call us a sorority. She called us a group. And one time she says, and I don't know how you all won this. Well, we went back to elementary and we were just cracking up.
Yeah.
Because it's simple mathematics. If you are in Tri-Del and there are 300 members.
Yeah.
And half of them are looking for husbands.
Yeah.
Okay. Your GPA is not going to, your cumulative GPA is not going to be, if there are 15 of you, mm-hmm. like us, and we were all valedictorians or salutatorians, and you know, as I used to say, we all had B-plus brains. Yes, and we knew one misstep would get us put out.
Right.
Yeah, our GPA was higher. I mean, the simple mathematics, that's how we did it. Mm-hmm. You know? Probably if it had been 300 of us, we'd been right there with the rest of them.
Right.
You know? I don't know how you girls did this. She met with us one time. She said, now what are you girls majoring in? So somebody said they were in biology. Well, what do you want to do with that? Do you want to teach? No, I want to go to medical school. Oh, well, you know, there's not many things for you colored girls to do. You can teach, or you can, you know, you all need to find you some husbands. They used to have, now this has nothing, this is not a black thing, but they used to have a meeting of all the incoming women, freshman women.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have to meet at that little, you know where the Barbara Jordan statue is? There's a building right back behind it. Anyway, it has a big auditorium, and all the freshman women had to meet, had to come there for mm-hmm. a meeting. Dean would give the welcome. Ladies, welcome to the University of Texas. This is the greatest marriage market in the country. When you leave here, you should have your BA and your MRS.
Oh my goodness.
What can I say?
We talked about that in class too, about, you know, coming to get your Mrs. degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I just thought that was, you know, the picture you're looking for. I just thought that was interesting in the video that we watched about the protest. It was, they only interviewed, you know, like the white students that were there at the time that were protesting with you guys.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was a very, I'll have to give you the link for this so you can watch it. But yeah, it was just all the white students. I thought that was so interesting because it's like, I mean, yeah, you're getting it from their point of view, just hearing what they're saying, but it's like, you know, you weren't, you were helping out, that's great you were there, but you know, where are the people that were, you know, the ones that started it and that like wanted to be there and were doing it for themselves, not, you know, it was interesting.
I'm looking for some pictures from 2016. I think I'm getting close. In Houston. Down in Miami. My husband and I travel a lot. When I do, when I start looking for stuff like this, I'm like, damn. What is this? we can go on and talk while I'm working. Oh, this is Wilhelmina Delco. This was at one of them. That's her right
there.
Oh,
sweet. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't she gorgeous?
She is.
And that's her husband, Zalton.
Wow.
This was at the UT Black Students Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
I go every year. We have it in